Last week we talked about Hannah, if you remember, right? And Hannah being part of a family of too many people. It's for the most reason. Her husband had another wife, and it just did not work out. It did not. She could not have a kid, and the other wife let her know that you're not favored in God's eyes, right? And we talked about what it meant to pour out our grief, to pour out our problems before God, and how the world sees that most of the time, even how the church sees us sometimes when we pour out our issues, they see it wrong, right? We see things not the way God sees them, and she had to tell the priest, Eli, I'm not drunk. I'm praying to my God. I just want him to know my hurt, my pain, my angst, everything that I'm hurting right now because years of being tortured by the other one of not being able to have a kid and she's worthless. And that's what she was believing, and she was able to pour it all out before God. And she got up from that moment and believed that God was bigger than all those things. That's what's awesome about that story. Like, her whole demeanor changed. She wasn't found within that depression because in that moment, she knew God was bigger than the evil in this world. That God was at work. And that's what we need to be thankful for, that God is at work today. Whatever issues you're dealing with, whatever pains that you're struggling with, God is at work today, right? And that's a great thing to know. Today, we're going to talk about Samuel. And awesome, sweet. We do have it, right? Maybe? You guys see it? There's announcements. Nope. All right, we'll try. All right. Okay, so I'm going to read you a scripture real quick. It is from Samuel 15, 22. And this is Samuel talking to Saul, all right? Does the Lord delight in her offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice. And to heed is better than fat of rams. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for providing this space where we can come together and worship you. Lord, as we read about your scripture, as we talk about Samuel and Saul, dear Lord, I pray that we hear your message through all this. Prepare our hearts to receive what you have laid out. I pray this morning that all the issues that we're dealing with, everything that we come into in our life, the worries, the concerns, the pains, the sickness of life, dear Lord, I pray that we lay and we pour it out on your lap this morning. May we know that you're bigger and stronger. I pray that we trust and fear you only. We give you all the praise. Amen. So Hannah had a boy named Samuel. And Samuel became a prophet, and a prophet that was a really good man. Like, he was a man of God. And what a prophet is you are in tune with God, right? And God speaks to you and relays a message to you to relate to other people, all right? And Samuel was a prophet. God would speak to him, and it was his job to go and say, okay, this is what we're going to do. This is what God wants. It's up to you to follow. And many times, many kings, many leaders, many people that were in charge, they don't really want to listen to a prophet because they're usually going against what they're having. And it goes against how they rule, right? And so it's kind of dangerous to be a prophet because many people will listen to prophets because of the voice of God, but at the same time, their life can be in terrible trouble. Because you have kings, you have leaders that are jealous for that same power, all right? And this is Samuel, and Samuel didn't ever fear that. I feel like you read Samuel and you listen to his words, you listen to what's going on in his life, and he just goes, I'm going to do it. I trust God, and it is what it is. And so you have him speaking to Israel, right, which is God's people, which is what God was like in this time in the Old Testament. He had a group of people that were his followers, right? And they had a message to go out to the world that said, hey, God loves you. You need to follow God's rule and reign, right? That was their job. And many times they failed, and it was this constant, this cycle of going, hey, God is good. Life is good. Let's do things our own way. We've got this. And God goes, okay, you got this, and allows them to stumble and allows them to trip, and then he has to bring them back. And it's always like this fear, like, man, this is horrible. I'm struggling. And he redeems them. And it's this vicious cycle through all of the Old Testament. If you read it, if you watch it, you read it and you learn it, like it's just constant people being saved, going, oh, I can do this on my own. Oh, I can't. Right? Samuel, this guy talking to Israel, brings them this message, and they are at this point where they think they can do it their own. And they're in this battle. They're in this constant battle through Samuel with the Philistines. Okay? And they're always fighting. And if you know who the famous Philistine is? Goliath. Anybody heard of Goliath? Right? He's this big dude. And we're not necessarily going to talk about Goliath this morning, but like he's when you think of Philistines and the army and them coming at him, they're this big, intrusive force always invading. All right? And so Israel is having to fight them off. God's people is having to fight them off, and they're losing. And instead of talking to God, instead of going to God with this issue, they decide at this time, which is the interesting. You know what the Ark of the Covenant is? It is God embraced in this moment. He made himself this entity so they could come and know that God is real at this time. And if you touch it, if you drop it. Like, you don't mess around with the Ark of the Covenant. You die if you do. It's God's presence. It's all the creation in this that's stored in this box. And it's crazy. It's amazing, right? And the Israels, like, I would think that too, like if I was a warrior, if I were a leader, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're gonna get the Ark of the Covenant. We're losing some of these battles. Let's go get the Ark of the Covenant, bring it into our camp. And when they brought it in the camp, oh, man, cheers, like constant stopping, like it echoed across the land to where the Philistines were at camp. They heard it. They're like, what's going on over there? They shouldn't be partying. We just beat them. What's going on? And, you know, it kind of made them nervous, right? And they should have, with them being that nervous, they should have won that battle easily. And they brought the Ark of Covenant out in the middle of the battlefield, and the Philistines wiped them out. Wiped them out. And as I'm reading this, I'm like, okay, this is interesting. Why does God allow this? And what God was teaching them in this moment is like, hey, I am not your trophy just to carry out when there's battle, and you just put me down there and say, okay, deal with it. But yours. God should have been asked first. Think about that when we face our battles today in this world. God should be approached in a way that we don't go, God, win this. God, do this. God, I demand this from you. It should be out of honor. It should be out of respect. It should be one out of fear, like, God, can you do this for me? God, please, we need your help. God, it is putting him back in the throne where he desires and deserves to be in your life, right? I don't know about you, but it never works out for me when I demand something of somebody, especially my wife. It doesn't work out. Clean the dishes. I'll do it for a month, right? God is so much more sacred than any relationship that we have, that he is not our beck and call. We should be at his beck and call. All right? And so that's where we start with this. And Israel all of a sudden understands, okay, we just got put in our place. We just got put in our place. We don't want to be yelled at again. We don't want to have to go through this again. So let's, Samuel, you are in tune with God. We need a king. We need somebody. This is how the world works. We need somebody to put in blame if something goes wrong so it's not just us. We need somebody to put there and go, oh, they're the leader. They're the one, right? And Samuel's first reaction with this is like, no, we already have a leader. It's God. Why are you doing this? And where does Samuel go first with this conversation? He goes to God. He goes and talks to God. Why do we need this? That God, they don't need a king. Please let them know. And he goes, no. This is what we're going to do. We're going to give them what they want. And I'm going to pick the one for them. It's not going to be good. And it seems like he's setting them up for failure, but the reality is he just knew ahead of advance of what's going to happen no matter what. So they pick Saul, just a regular guy. He was a good-looking guy, strong guy, but he was just a regular guy. And all of a sudden, he became king. And they looked to him, and he won battles. He led well, right? He led almost too well. And it got to a point that he only needed himself. He was the one that was leading the battles. He was the one that was winning these battles. He was the one that put him in that spot to be a king. And it started getting ugly. Right? Do you know of people like this? Do you, maybe you even have felt this way, that I can do this and I can only do it alone. And what not, like, I've been there. Like, I've been chosen by God, I feel like. And there is many times it's easy in the mind and it's easy in the heart. And like, I got this. Nobody should tell me how to live this life. And that's not how it goes. God has put us together as a church for a reason. Do you realize that? And he has called us all to be accountable to each other. And we don't have the best approach with it for the most part, right? We have a tendency to go up to somebody and slap them before we talk to them with whatever sin, and not physically, because then we have assault and then we have issues at church. But we have a tendency to be harsh with our words because we disguise it by faith and we disguise it by God's justice, right? So we have to figure out, how do we live in an accountability life with each other? Right? Today, we're doing a baptism. We're doing two baptisms. And what that signifies for us to understand is this. When we baptize, we understand it as, this is my opportunity to tell the church what I believe. I believe that my Lord and Savior is the King of my life. He has saved me. I believe Jesus Christ died on that cross for my sins. And I'm telling everybody that. And I'm excited about that. And I am part of your family now. I'm part of the family that is found within God, right? And in that moment, these are the moments as a church we go, okay, they're committed. I love and pray for them in that commitment, all right? And I watch in a way that's caring and loving. Understand? And so when they start to veer away, when they start to not show up, when they start to question, we don't sit there and slap them. We can sit there and encourage and pray and talk, and we are their neighbor of love for God, right? And this is what Samuel was for Saul. There was many times through the time with Saul that he was making these decisions, and Samuel would come up to him and go, not a good idea. Do you understand you need to follow God and this is what you are designed and that you are put in this position to glorify God and not yourself, right? And there was a war that God was very explicit through Samuel to give Saul this message. And you find it in 15, Samuel, 1 Samuel 15, right? And this is what he's called to do. Saul has gone to Carmel and, oh, hold on, let me go back. I'm jumping ahead of myself. Anyway, he's called to go and take out this whole army and keep nothing, right? And just wipe it clean off the face of the earth, right? And it was to avenge what they have done to Israel, okay? It seems harsh, but that's God was just in this, okay? And Saul heard this message. He was to get rid of everything. Everything. And so they go and do this, they fight, and they easily take over this army. They kill everybody that's easy to kill. They take the king, they capture the king, and everything that was good and healthy livestock that was not injured or hurt, or if it was good and healthy, he took. And this was like crazy. God saw this, and he went to Samuel and showed him in a dream, showed him in a message, this is what Saul's done. He's disobeyed me. He's disobeyed me. And it tore Samuel apart. Okay, there, church, I want you to understand some things with that. Why did it tear Samuel apart? Because Saul didn't live the way that God had told him to live. Imagine we look out here and we see our brothers and sisters doing things in a way that tore us apart. Do you understand what that care looks like? That might lead to how we react sometimes. And I'm saying this as a pastor, that sometimes we react out of harshness because of how much we care, but we need to lead with grace and mercy first, because who does the judging? Not us. Right? But we are the hands of his grace. We are the hands of his love. We are the hands that direct in a way of life that God has called them to. Samuel was the voice of God for Saul. Can you imagine being the voice of God for somebody? That's stress. If you mess it up, that's stressful. Right? Samuel was the voice of God for Saul, who was the leader of Israel. And so Samuel was the voice for all of Israel, for God. And so Samuel sees this. He goes to find him, and then we see In chapter 15, 1 Samuel, Saul has gone to Carmel. He's looking for him. He's looking for Saul. Samuel is looking for Saul, and he goes, Saul has gone to Carmel. There he has set up a monument in his own honor and has turned and gone down to Gilgal. In that moment, Samuel is realizing some things here, that Saul has bought his own good news, that he's the man. And that he alone is doing this, right? So he's got this idol. He's got this big monument that's built for him. So all of a sudden, you can already see where the heart of the matter that we have right now, that the self has put himself above God. Is there ways that we do that? I would think about when we have an argument with somebody. I would think about it in terms of, do I just desire to be right? Or do I desire to hear out what God is doing in this matter and listen? Is it about me all the time and what I'm not getting and what I'm doing and is it about me all the time? Even in my relationship with God, is it always about me? See, these are signs that we have started creating our own monuments. We can't see beyond this own little circle of ourselves, that this is all our world. And when something affects this circle that I have made for myself, then I have a problem. And the reality is this, for Samuel, he was called to be the voice of God. And for Saul, he was supposed to listen to that voice. And that voice did not penetrate anymore into that bubble. It became about Saul only and what was good for him. All right? And this is where we're at. And so he finds him finally, and he has some choice words for him. Saul, he asks him, so tell me about the battle. This is Samuel talking to Saul. Tell me about the battle. Saul answered, the soldiers brought them from the Alchemites. They spared the best of the sheep and the cattle and sacrificed the Lord for your God. But we totally destroyed the rest. Okay. All right. He understands. Let me explain this real quick. I know I didn't read it really well. So Samuel starts. Have you ever been confronted with something that you know you were hiding? This is that moment. And he knows he's caught. Saul knows he's caught. All right. So he goes, all right, this is what happened. I know you know. I know somehow God has told you. And so let me explain myself. We killed everybody. We kept the king. You know, I wanted him to be a sacrifice for our king, right? And we kept, the soldiers wanted to keep the sheep. The soldiers wanted to keep the good livestock. The soldiers wanted to do that so we could sacrifice it to God together. And I feel like it was one of those moments, and as a parent, it's one of those moments where you roll your eyes. You're like, stop telling a story. That's not what happened here, right? And then it starts to go on. But I did obey the Lord, Saul said. I went to the men the Lord assigned me, and I completely destroyed them. And back to Agag the king, the soldiers took the sheep, and he continues to just buy this story. And then we get to where Samuel replied, and he's quoting scripture, and he says, the Lord doesn't delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as obeying the Lord. To obey is better than to sacrifice, and to heed is better than to fat of rams. All right? Hear that. God wants us to sacrifice, but more importantly, he wants us to obey his word over anything else. Like coming and sacrificing our time to be here, to come and lead and come and do what God has called us are great things. But when he tells us to obey, and that means every day, we better listen. We better put him at the throne of our life. And I will tell you, this is an everyday struggle to go, okay, I don't want to just live for Ben. I want to live for God. Because there's struggles. There's things that we struggle with daily. And there's struggles that we put there and we go, okay, God, I got this. I can deal with this. God, you don't need this part of my life. I got it, right? I think we struggle with that, and God continues to go, no, I need to be the center of your life. Don't make any idols outside of me. Don't do it. It ain't healthy. It's not what God wants, right? And so this is what starts to happen with Saul. So he's realizing his sin. Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. I have violated the Lord's command and instructions. I was afraid of the men, and so I gave in to them. Now I beg you, forgive my sin and come back with me so that I may worship the Lord. All right. And as you're reading that, if you don't know the context, that sounds really legit. But who's he throwing under the bus? He threw his men under the bus. And what was the heart of it? It was really his decision. Nobody else. He was the king. And Samuel knows this. So was his heart right still? Was he really forgiving or asking for forgiveness? No, he didn't want the trouble. He didn't want the issues. He didn't want to own up to what he had done. He was still throwing other people under the bus. One of the hardest things you learn what life is all about is owning your own faults. It's nobody else's. Right? I can easily turn to my parents and I can easily say, well, this is why I'm this way and this is why I struggle with this and this is why I carry this baggage and this is why I am justified with being the person that I am. No. At some point, I am responsible for my actions only. And the same goes for you. You are responsible for your actions. You are responsible for how you treat others. You are responsible for how you follow God. You alone are responsible. But the cool thing in this, right? I am the only one responsible, but God comes in and gives us a family to help me be responsible for what God has put me in my life. I have people in my world that recognize you've taken a step in the wrong way. Let me help you out, brother. Let me pray for you. Let me talk you through this. Let me help you understand this isn't healthy and this isn't what God wanted. And now that you have to deal with this. And I don't go along and go, well, listen, this is the life that I live. This is the life that I've been dealt, and this is the reasons why I do this. It doesn't work that way. I can give you every excuse in the book of why I made a decision that was not godly. But what it comes down to it is I made a decision that was not godly, and that's on me. And I don't throw anybody else. And true forgiveness comes when I understand that. Grace is given when grace is asked for in the true form. Right? So this is what happens. This is Samuel's response to him. This is crazy. This is awesome. This is Samuel's voice from God. This is Samuel reacting the way God has told him to react. All right? Let me find it. He talks about, where did it go? I'm sorry. As Samuel turned to leave, Saul caught a hold of his hand as he rode and tore it. And Samuel said to him, "The Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and has given it to the one of the neighbors, to one better than you. He is who the glory of Israel does not lie or change his mind. For he is not human being that he should change his mind." This is God, all right? God has chosen somebody else that he has torn him away from the kingdom. And from this point on, because he didn't really have a repentant heart, God allowed an evil spirit to lay upon Samuel, or not Samuel, Saul. And that's how he led from that point on, right? Saul replied, "I have sinned, but please honor me before the people, before Israel." What did that say there? He's ready to announce his sin, but he still wants to be honored. Listen, as people of God, we've got to understand, we've got to forget what other people think about us. We need to be more worried about what God is doing in our lives and how God needs to be the ruler of our lives before anybody else. One of the hardest things within the role of our life is to be worried about our image and how people perceive us. Am I right? Read Facebook. Right? Like, we want people to honor us. We want people to know that we do a great job. We want people to look at us in a way that, man, they're good. They've got it all together. See, that was what Saul's whole thing, he was more concerned about what he looked like to his people than concerned about what God and his relationship was. We need to be more concerned about what God is doing in our life than anything else. We need to be more concerned about the image that we have with God than any other image we have in this world. Right? And so that might mean, just like Hannah, being willing to break down and go, "God, this is all yours." This might be in the moment where we're at Walmart and we go, "God is so good." Right? That might be in that moment that you have to go and talk to somebody that you don't really want to talk to, that you are not this who you really are, but you know that God's taking you there, so I need to step out of my zone of comfort and go, "Okay, God, lead me." Because it's not about Ben. It's not about us. This is about you, and you have put me in this spot, and you have put me in this word on my life, and I better obey it. I better live for you. Right? So the whole time Samuel was telling Saul the good news that, like, hey, listen, you keep doing wrong. You keep doing this. And Saul just got to a point like, yes, but didn't really hear the message. There are so many people that live in that box. They say yes, but everything about them says no. That they want, like, they hear the message, but nothing resides within their heart. Today, that's the thing to be thankful for, that God continues to speak to us. God continues to offer us a new opportunity to not live by our selfish desires, not to be worried about our own image, to be more connected to him and to obey his word. He continues to offer us that opportunity every day. and that through Jesus Christ, who's our ultimate sacrifice, right? That no longer is that sin that we continue to deal with, that selfish desire that we still have, now that relationship that's consistently fractured, through Jesus offers grace to redeem it daily, right? And now we have an opportunity every moment, every day, every time that we mess up, every time we keep making an idol of ourselves, every time we keep making something about ourselves, that God reminds us, hey, this isn't about you, it is about me. Live that way. Obey my word. Follow after me. Right? And what's awesome about God is that he allows us, yes, we still trip up. Yes, we still mess up consistently, but God continues to come and say, listen, I have a better way for you. Obey me. And what's awesome about God is he doesn't force us. Because it wouldn't be loving and it wouldn't be caring. It wouldn't be what God has desired in relationship with us. He wants a true, this is what's awesome, God wants a true relationship with you today. And what that looks like is you saying yes and trusting God is bigger than your own desires, your own wants, your own selfish. God is bigger than that. And that's the God we serve. Right? Amen? All right. So this is your challenge this week as we live together as a church, to ask yourself a couple questions. Would you allow your brother or sister to correct you spiritually? If they're coming with a word of grace and mercy from God, if they're coming with something that they recognize that your life is not living in a way that glorifies him, are you willing to hear it? And if you're not, why? And I would challenge you to ask that to God, nobody else. Right? That's one challenge. Second challenge is this. Are you ready to obey God today? If he's put something on your heart, if he wants you to change something in your life, if he wants you to follow him into an area that you don't really want to go, are you willing to obey him? And then give him all the glory for it. Right? Are you willing to do those things? Church, as we go this week, before we go, we're going to have a baptism, and then we get to celebrate that. And I'm going to ask the band to come up here, right? And we're going to worship a little bit while we're getting ready back there. But to understand what we do today is this is an opportunity for us that are being baptized today to know that, okay, they want to obey God. And they want you to know that. And in that, he get the opportunity to be the family of God for them and to love on them, to pray for them, to be the one that says, hey, I noticed something. I haven't seen you. I noticed that you're not speaking the way that God wants to speak. You don't seem to be loving and kind. How can I help? Right? We need to be the voice of God to a world that needs to hear his love and mercy and salvation and correctness to be able to obey him, right?